For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After you've had a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. It is good to have you listening on a Friday, the day after the 4th of July. Mike, you're here, so I'm assuming nobody caught anything on fire.
No, man. Our neighbor, Mike Maeda, a great guy, Delta, the show went on for about like 90 minutes. So it was basically, I think it was funny, around the neighborhood, everyone kind of said, okay, 10:30, pull the plug. So it was cool. But yeah, lots of kabooms, but everybody's got their digits, and we had a good time. How about you up there?
It was good, man. You know, it was funny because... the new puppy, his name's Frankie, and, you know, you're trying to get him acclimated, and you just don't know. We had a couple of dogs many, many years ago that we scared the crap out of them by taking them to a fireworks show when they were like little bitty puppies. And we learned from that experience, like, what you want as humans and what the dogs actually want and how they react. Some dogs it doesn't affect. You know, Maximus, it was like, whatever, dude, you can do, I don't care, blow up the house. Right. But other dogs respond. So we just didn't want to scare the hell out of him. So we were cautious of that. But it was great, man. The fireworks show, the people around here, around our neighborhood and around the area, there are certain areas, you know, depending on where you are with the topography, that you can see fireworks from the hill that we live on. And so we got probably three different shows just from where we live. But it was great, man. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody was hurt. And like I said, you talked about, you know, the rules of nothing catching on fire and having the water hoses out the other day. So I'm just glad everybody's safe.
Yeah, man, and it's funny. A lot of folks were commenting. I guess, like with Mikey, I'm just lucky with Ike. Ike's always got the FOMO, the fear of missing out. So he's literally just kind of hanging out. And so we're about, you know, a house distance away there from the cul-de-sac where the stuff was going off. But little man was just kind of hanging out, chilling. Everybody's coming over, saying hi, rubbing his belly. So, but you're right. A lot of dogs and you know, do freak out with that, like thunderstorms, the whole thing. I got to be honest. The thing that's freaking me out right now is, bro, the belief that this Braves team might not be able to catch the Phillies. And I don't know what to kind of pressure. We're going to hear what Snicker had to say. How much emphasis, how much heat do you put on this thing to close the gap down 9 games and losing 3 of their last 4?
It's the biggest series of the season. And here's what they're saying in Philly. And we're going to talk to our buddy Hugh Douglas coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. But I'm telling you right now, this is what they're saying in Philly. Big series aren't played in July. They're played in October. And they're clowning us because we've not been able to get over the hump against these guys in October when it matters most. So they are saying, hey, if we allow the Braves to get back into this division by, let's just say we sweep them, which I would love to have happen.
Right.
But if that doesn't happen, right, and let's say they sweep us, you're talking about being 12 out and we're heading to the All-Star break. Braves go on the road. This is their last homestand before they go on the road for six games. And then the All-Star break isn't until the week of the 14th, Mike, that week of 15th, 16th, 17th, and they don't play again until the 19th. So I don't assume they're going to go on a six or seven game winning streak because they haven't done it all year, fans. So at the end of the day, this is the biggest series simply because you can either feel like you have a pulse and we might do something, or you may feel like 12 or 13 out by the end of this series, whatever it's going to be, that, Mike, the season is not what we expected.
No, and I just felt that at some point we're going to add some pieces. We got to wait now, as you guys know. We got this month, and we'll get to the trade deadline. But they did bring back an old familiar face, Eddie Rosario. So, I mean, they picked him up. You know, he was released. They signed him to a minor league contract, so he'll be at Gwinnett for the short time being. But, unfortunately, he was not doing anything for the Nats. He was batting 183, Carl, with seven home runs. Do you think he can catch lightning in a bottle coming back here the way that every time Jesse Chavez does when he comes back to the Braves?
So, there is this familiarity that's going on with the Braves. And listen, I'm not clowning. I get it. He knows the makeup of the team. He knows the clubhouse. He gets the management. I'm all for it if it can help. But you just said it, Mike. I mean, what we're hoping for happens once in a lifetime. What Eddie Rosario did in 21, Eddie, I don't even know if he thinks he could probably do that again. Can he come here and contribute? Yes. But I'm not expecting him to, like, come in and catch, you know, fire and carry the team for whatever reason, however they decide to use him. And I don't know what that's going to look like. But I'm not poo-pooing the move. I get it. But it's like Duvall, right? You bring him back because you're familiar. You bring Eddie back because you're familiar. And if that makes you feel good, great. But ultimately, it's about winning. Can they help us win? Duvall said the last time he got a game-winning hit just last week, Mike, he was like, I finally feel like I'm helping the team. That's what I need, man. I need Eddie to come in here once he gets up to the bigs and decides, you know, however they're going to use him. I got to see him produce, Mike. And I don't want to live in 2021. Guys, that is gone.
Right, and that's where we're at. I mean, let's be honest, guys. We're kind of clutching at straws. We're bringing guys off the scrap heap, but because they were part of a World Series win, and Eddie was super clutch here, and we all are amazed that Alex was able to pull it off in 21. Can he do it again? I mean, look, this is a minor move. Maybe Rosario gets some traction. I still think they're going to have to really try to find. And here's the thing. You know, it's not like you're the only team that's going to be out there looking for a big-time hitter to play the outfield. I mean, other teams are in both the American League, although National League's kind of down, but everybody's alive. You know, that's the thing. It's such a sort of a jumbled mess for the wild card spots. So I just hope Alex can pull something off. The pitching, you know, let's be honest, they're decent. They're doing their job. I know we've bemoaned the fact we got to see, you know, Schwellenbach come up and get hit pretty hard. But the numbers, Carl, the offensive, I mean, the drought offensively, Dave O'Brien has it, and I know Grant McCauley retweeted it as well. The numbers are mind-bogglingly bad on how just offensively stunted we are. You realize that they have not won a game since April 17th when an opponent scores four or more runs. Not one win. Dave O'Brien put this out this morning. 6-31 all season when the opponent scores more than four runs for a team that was the biggest, baddest slugging squad you ever saw last season.
Yeah, it's concerning. It's been concerning for me. And I'm not throwing this at you guys, but everybody just said, relax. How do you feel now? We're past my date of July 1st. As a matter of fact, we're about to be 2 weeks into July here. How do you feel now? We're going to be at the All-Star break before you know it. We're going to be at the trade deadline before you know it this month. How do you feel now about what's going on with this offense? 404-726-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers or our text line. You can hit us up. Also find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We're talking Braves, guys. They lose, but this Phillies series, Phillies come in here, by the way, best record in the league. Not just league, best record in baseball. They are 9 games in front of us. Mike alluded to this. And tonight, ironically, and it's just the way the rotation sets up, they're throwing Aaron Nola, who has been a dude. 9-4, 3.4 ERA. Max Fried is going up against him. These are two all-stars. This should be a terrific pitching matchup by these guys. The crazy thing is, the last time each one of these guys saw each other, or at least their opposing teams, Mike, they both got chased. Fried, we go back to the beginning of the season. He did not look good. Remember?
Yeah. Remember that's, we're like, holy cow, he's in his head, this contract thing, because this is basically an audition for other major league teams, because he's probably not going to get the big deal here. And ever since then, after those two starts, he's obviously been as good as anybody in Major League Baseball. We need Fried to really dial it in, because the way the Braves are going, they're not scoring runs. And that's the other thing. Look, I know that Max Fried is considered one of the best pitchers, but it's hard every night from a pitching staff standpoint that you know you got to shut down the opponent because you're not going to get the support.
Big O back at the studio, and he's doing all the things today. Appreciate you as always. He's our engineer, executive producer today. Turtle's been off for the 4th of July holiday. I want to hear Sean Murphy talking about facing the Phillies. We can downplay this, Atlanta, if we want to, but we can't. This is a huge series. And for Snit to say, you know, it's just one, and he's trying to cool the at least the temperament of what he wants people to believe, Mike, if we get swept by these guys, all right, and they beat us badly, meaning we don't score runs like we haven't been, I just don't know how much confidence you could have moving forward to say we can beat these guys in the playoffs. It's not about now. Even if you said, Dukes and Bell, this is still a playoff team, and I think we are. But can you beat these guys in the playoffs? This is Sean Murphy talking about the Phillies.
You know, opportunity to make up a couple games. I feel like that says it all, right? So it's a big weekend. We're just going to go out and play our baseball and see how it goes.
Thanks, Sean, for your enthusiasm. Are you serious now?
That's inspiring. Look, I know that Snicker's got to set the tone, and he can't sit there and say, look, this is – I mean, we can say that because we do talk radio for a living, but Snicker can't say this is the biggest series of the season. We must – here's the other thing. You don't think over in that Philly clubhouse they're saying, hey, we can put these guys down.
Absolutely.
We can come out of here 12 games, and then they got to hope for the wild card. And, you know, there's certain times in the year. Remember when the Braves could, there's teams that you want to sort of send a message to. Guys, you're going to see, whether it's the Dodgers. That's it. Remember, you got freaked out when the Dodgers swept us out in L.A. earlier this year. Because that's somebody we go round and round with. So, yeah, the Phillies coming in here probably thinking they got us down, even without having Schwarber and Harper.
Yeah, and Real Muto, too. He's out.
Right.
Knee
Real Muto's out, right.
Yeah, so you got three of your big studs that are not participating. I know Arcia, hopefully the abscess tooth thing, you know, maybe he's back. I don't know what the circumstances are. Maybe Grant will know more today, as we'll talk to him in the 5 o'clock hour. But it is rare, and it has been rare over the last 6 years or 7 years since we've dominated this division, that you felt like, okay, this might be one of those series that really kind of decides something. And I think for anybody to say, well, it's July and that's silly, I would simply ask you guys, when have we won 8, 9, 10 in a row? We haven't.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done it. And the reason we haven't done it is because the offense has been abysmal. And that's what concerned me 2 months ago. And it still concerns me heading into this Philly series tonight, Mike.
No, look, we went round and round after that series. I said, look, it's still early, because it was, but you're right. I think now, as we're at the halfway point, you know what this team is. This team just doesn't hit. And it's crazy, right? I mean, for years, we've had one of the best lineups in baseball, and Alex Anthopoulos has invested in it. But no Acuna, you know, to lose the guys for extended periods of time with injuries like Michael Money Harris, you know, to get that kind of awful. I mean, that's one of the worst slumps of his career that Matt Olson went through earlier this year. You know, you just feel like they just can't seem to get anything going. Only four guys left on base. Think about that. They had a bunch of hits. They just couldn't get guys in scoring position. It was just, it's been so exasperating. Webb, by the way, Logan Webb's had their number for seemingly the last couple of years. But this team, you're just waiting for it. And maybe the only way you spark it, Carl, is by getting a trade. And you get some energy from somebody, a big bat coming in if Alex can pull it off.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not clowning Sean Murphy. It's a big series. Yeah. You just sounded like you were defeated. And I get it. You guys lost last night. I understand you lose 2 of 3. To the Giants? Come on, bro.
Give me some juice.
Yeah, we need some energy, man. We need something to get going. Somebody to get going. He's just like, it's not serious. It's the weekend. Come on, Sean Murphy.
Maybe that's just his energy, like Fried. He's just one of those, hey, dude, your chest is on fire. I should probably put it out.
All right, more about the Braves coming up. We're going to talk to our buddy Brian McFadden, all things covered. He does a great podcast. CBS NFL analyst, guys. We are counting down the NFL training camps. 24th. That's when the Falcons report. That's when things start to happen. Cannot wait. We'll talk to Bryant McFadden next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our next guest seems to always be in the news, and not in a bad way. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday, everybody. Bryant McFadden does a podcast called All Things Covered. His partner on the podcast is Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson was released by the Steelers in March, and on their recent episode, and you can check it out wherever you get your podcast, Peterson said, quote, "I'll definitely be ready." B-Mac, it's good to have you back on the show. Is collusion going on in the league? Listen, it's easy to jump to conclusions when he says there's a bunch of guys that are out there on the market. You know, Stephon Gilmore unsigned, Xavier Howard. What's going on, man?
You know, I talked about this with you guys, I think, a few weeks ago when you talk about veterans that are still available and just the financial game that organizations usually play with these guys when you talk about trying to pay them, because, you know, those are all three quality names, you know, all three quality names, guys that have played at a high level. Pat is the older of the three that you mentioned, but they're still more than serviceable corners, but they're available. And my logic for that, guys, is that, you know, if a team was to bring any one of those guys in right now, right, and if they make the opening day roster, their entire salary is guaranteed. And you guys know how the game of football works when it comes to the money. Organizations try to find every way possible to try to cut financial corners if they can. So when you look at some teams, you look at the history of the league, a lot of teams do make a lot of moves, transactions, after week one, because when they bring in a proven vet, if they cut them at any time after week one when they brought him in, their salary is not guaranteed. So that's just my mindset, and I shared that with Pat P on our most recent podcast as well, because when I just watching how things happen, mm-hmm. and when you talk about seeing so many names, every year, every offseason, there's always a few quality names that are available that don't have a job. You're like, why? How is that possible? I think that's the logic, because when they bring them in, if they make the opening day roster, if you cut ties after week three, week four, their salary is still guaranteed. If you bring them in after week one, they're not guaranteed.
I hate that, because we got 14th best cap space as, you know, we look. You just mentioned, Carl mentioned Howard, Adoree Jackson, Gilmore. I mean, hell, I'd take Eli Apple. I mean, we're rolling with some guys that just don't have any interceptions. And that's the thing, man. We need some ball hawking. We did speak with A.J. Terrell earlier this preseason. And I'll tell you what, man, Bryant, he kind of gave us a hint that maybe this scheme they're going to use is going to allow these guys to maybe get some more interceptions in freelance. How's that going to happen?
I'm an A.J. Terrell's fan, man, and I think this is the year for him to really showcase what type of player he can be, not just in 2024, but moving forward. So I think he's going to be, you know, set up to do nice things. You look at how Raheem used Jalen Ramsey throughout his tenure there in the Rams where those two guys were together. We saw Jalen play outstanding football, but the thing that we saw with Jalen in L.A., was the movement, the way they used him, the way they moved him around. He wasn't just playing the outside. He was also playing the nickel, playing the dime, and therefore gave him the ability to really excel. So maybe that could be a potential, you know, new calling for A.J. Terrell. We don't know, but we know he's very, very athletic. He's gifted. So if that's an opportunity for him, I think he takes it, and he takes it by storm. But one thing I would like to mention, Mike and Carl, when you talk about the Falcons and the cornerbacks, you have concerns when it comes to every other guy outside of A.J. Terrell. But outside of that, they lack depth. And you guys know every year injuries happen. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Falcons right now, outside of their top three guys, you know, Huge, Clark, and A.J., they lack depth at a very, very important position on the defense. So that's something to monitor as well.
B-Mac joining us, Bryant McFadden. You guys can check him out, NFL analyst for CBS. So can a brother live? Like, Dak Prescott's on vacation in Cabo San Lucas, right? And somebody obviously has a picture of him in this walking boot, and it gets out, and now sources are saying he's no longer in the walking boot. But I'm like, Dak's trying to get this money, and if I'm the Cowboys, I'm like, obviously they're aware. They said it was a minor right foot sprain is what they're saying it was. But we don't know what the deal is, B-Mac. Like, what's your interpretation of what the Cowboys are going to do with Dak Prescott before the season starts? Are they paying him?
Well, first and foremost, they have no plan. That's the issue with the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody's asking, what's the Cowboys' plan? Well, number one, they have no plan. They have no plan with Dak Prescott. They have no plan with CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin, Michael Parsons. And because of that, they're in this big conundrum right now with key players that are deserving of being paid. So with Dak Prescott, will he get paid? I don't know. I don't think so, guys, because think about it like this, man. If you're Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback, regardless of all the criticism that he's faced. He is a franchise quarterback. He is a winning quarterback in the National Football League. How many times do franchises allow quarterbacks like Dak Prescott They have won ball games, got them in the playoff conversation. Regardless of what happens when he gets into the playoffs, that's another story. But he's gotten them there. How many times have you seen organizations allow quarterbacks to get to the final year of their deal? Right? So clearly they have no plan with that.
You're right.
Right? They have no plan. And then when you look at C.D. Lamb, how did you allow C.D. Lamb to get in this position of his rookie contract? I mean, he's in his fifth year. C.D. Lamb, if he was to play, guys, he will see around $17 million this year. Well, yeah, that's good money. But for a guy like C.D. Lamb, no, that's below average. Get this, Brandon Cooks is receiving $19 million. There's over 20 wide receivers in the National Football League that will be paid higher than C.D. Lamb if he plays for $17 million this year. So when you factor in just those two top guys right there alone, Dak Prescott and C.D. Lamb, the Cowboys, they have no plan, and because of that, they're just kind of going through the motion. But something has to happen. And me personally, if you're telling me you have a better option than Dak Prescott, so be it. Let them walk. But if you don't have a better option, where do you go? Because if I look at their team right now, Cooper Rush, he's not a better option than Dak Prescott. And what's my man? Trey Lance, clearly not a better option than Dak Prescott.
No, don't know what he is.
Exactly.
No, I mean, right. I mean, to me, it's Jerry. I mean, Jerry's made some decent moves over the years with offensive line, and they have drafted some skill position. But it just seems like, I think most Cowboy fans would agree, as long as he's running that show, Brian, they're never going to get anything. They're gonna be stuck in that level where it's always good enough to make the playoffs, but never break through.
I agree, and when you factor in Jerry has done a real good job making sure they stay in the spotlight. But with that being said, at some point in time, that's not enough. Cowboy fans, they're so disgruntled. They're so optimistic, but they're so disgruntled as well because they come into every season believing they got a shot. They come into every season believing this is our time. And the reason why they believe that is because the owner says that every year. Remember once the Super Bowl was over, guys, when Kansas City hoisted the Sticky Lombardi, the first thing Jerry said was, we're going to go all in. We're going to be all in. Well, they've been the opposite. And that's why there are so many Cowboys fans that they don't know exactly what to expect because they haven't done anything.
Brian, let's talk about our first opponent, the Steelers. Mike and I had a great conversation earlier this week with a Steelers beat reporter up there.
Ray Fittipaldo, with the Gazette.
Yeah, with the Post-Gazette. And he was talking about, the new coordinator, obviously Arthur Smith, but he was also talking about, the pressure on Mike Tomlin to win a playoff game and, getting there is great and having winning seasons. And I'm just curious, the importance of that first game we know here in Atlanta is a big deal with Kirk Cousins and a new staff. What is it for the Steelers? Like the expectation with new quarterback and Russell Wilson, or if it's going to be, Justin Fields, we don't know, but you think it's going to be Russ. What is that for them?
Man, listen, the expectations are super high week one as well for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, here in Atlanta, people are geeked about week one because, as you mentioned, you got a lot of new people in new positions, specifically speaking with Kirk Cousins. But for Pittsburgh, heck, they got some of the same storylines as well. They will have a new quarterback. They got a new OC. They got some new faces and new places also. And with Pittsburgh, when you look at their schedule, I mean, there's no easy way out. So if you and one thing I know, guys, just going back to my time there with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, the first game was super important because he used to always emphasize, get that dub in early. Get that dub in the winning column early. So now you can kind of utilize that as momentum moving forward. And this is the mindset that I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers will be having coming into Atlanta. You got to treat it like a playoff game because you don't want to start off on the wrong end of the stick, especially when you're playing in the division like the AFC North. I think we'll say this, guys. I think we all would agree. Week one, Atlanta, Pittsburgh. Atlanta could afford to get off to a long, losing that ball game because look at the conference they're in. Look at the division they're in, the NFC South. It's not as competitive as the AFC North is. Let's just keep it real. Yeah. That's how we see it right now. Now, anything can happen between now and, the month of September, October, but how we see it right now, there's no easy way out in the AFC North. So if you're Pittsburgh, you got to find a way to get it done. You got to find a way to get it done against a new coach in a new environment, you know, new quarterback, so many new pieces there, and find a way to use that as momentum. So that's the mindset for Pittsburgh, and you better believe, man, week one, man, I can't wait. I don't know if I actually be in studio, but if I'm not in studio, you guys already know we got a tailgate together. Don't mind me, because I will have on my Steeler apparel from head to toe, and it should be a great, great Sunday in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't want to put my wife's business on the street, but she does wear, like, Steelers underwear, Carl, to those Falcons games. I can't lie. Hey, man, by the way,
TMI.
I know. She's probably listening. I go, shut up, you. Hey, man, real quick, because it's been a couple of years now that we've had the 17 weeks and the 3 weeks of preseason. It seemed like the last year, like the Steelers, friends, they had a horrible game against San Francisco to start last year. Is it still, guys, I mean, how should we expect the Falcons to hit the ground running? Because especially for a new regime, how much should we expect them to? I mean, they're going to make mistakes in week one, but what do you think we're going to get?
Man, I think if I'm Atlanta, and just my personal opinion, I think the guys need to play in preseason ball games more than one ball game, me personally. Yeah, you talked about only having three preseason games, and now you look at how some teams are doing it. You know, you don't see some starters play at all in a preseason game, and then they say, well, we got joint practices, so that's more than a good enough look. No, it's not the same as game action. It's not the same. It's not the same. So if I'm Atlanta, just – you know, having a whole new coaching staff there on both sides of the football, man, let's get these guys out there. Because correct me if I'm wrong, guys, last year we didn't see Desmond Ridder in the starters until, like, the final preseason game or something like that, wasn't it? Wasn't that the case? Like, week three?
One series against the Bengals, right, Carl?
Yeah, that was our issue. I mean, we saw him. He looked fine in the – but it was one series. It wasn't enough.
That's it. Exactly, Mike and Carl. Think about that. You had a – young quarterback trying to figure things out, and he only played one series and three preseason ball games. How? So, of course, you get off to a rusty start. So, if I'm Raheem, you know what? Yeah, I understand you always got to factor in the injury concern during the preseason. But I can tell you this much. I want to have some type of rhythm already in place by week one, because that's super important. Because when you look at, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they came and beat a lot against Atlanta, which I think was the final preseason game. But the first two preseason games, they didn't do a lot. They did. And then they got up to a slow start against San Francisco week one. So, for me personally, what do I think we could see from Atlanta? You know what? Play the starters in the preseason, and hopefully you can kind of create a sense of a rhythm and chemistry on either side of the football so you can get so you can use that as momentum week one against Pittsburgh.
B-Mac, great stuff as always. Follow him. Check out the podcast where Patrick Peterson is talking about the NFL and these great corners. You know, these guys are just waiting to be signed. But B-Mac brings up a good point about the financial aspect of it. You can hear the entire podcast, all things covered, wherever you get your podcast. B-Mac, man, appreciate you. And we are counting down to camp. Cannot wait. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike, let me ask you this. Week one. We get into week one. Do we go sign one of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, Brian makes the argument about the you know about the money. We do have, it depends on who you're looking at, but we've got about 20-some-odd million in cap space, according to Spotrac. So we could conceivably get it. You'd think from a defensive coach's standpoint, you'd want these guys in, working with the younger players and learning you know Jimmy Lake's system, but maybe not. Or they really, really love the guys that we got, even though we look at these guys and say they're a bunch of dudes, just regular dudes.
Coming up, we'll hit some headlines, guys. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Phillies in town. We'll talk about what happened last night, and a lot of people complaining about Charlie Morton. We'll tell you about it next. Braves take on the Phillies tonight. We're going to talk to our man, Big Hugh Douglas, who's on WIP in Philly, should I say. We'll talk to him in the next hour about this series. We'll also get his thoughts on the Eagles because they're on our football schedule as well, as we'll play them on Monday Night Football in week two. So that is on the way in the 3 o'clock hour. This hour, again, is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. Mike, guys hitting us up saying maybe Jimmy Lake trusts what he has on social media. And listen, obviously they do. I think, you know, again, if you prioritized this, you don't wait until the start of the season to roll the dice, Mike, and have another team come in and potentially sign any of these guys that you might be interested in. So by not doing anything, they're telling us they trust what they have.
it doesn't mean that Mike and I don't think that they still should have had some more cover guys. That's where I'm at.
Right. No, I mean, and it's not like the guys that we're mentioning, their names are like, you know, like they're chopped liver. I mean, these are guys, look, I could agree with some guys who have said, like Patrick Peterson's probably past his prime, but he's still arguably better than anyone else that we're throwing out there. Clark Phillips only has a few starts. You know, we've talked about the other guys. There's just not a lot of, if you look at that stats, Carl, there's no interceptions. There's nobody getting the ball. So the guy who gets the ball is Jesse Bates, and he's the safety. But Xavien Howard, you brought up, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, Peterson. That's why I said, hell, I even, you know, and some of these guys at this stage, because they haven't been signed, you could arguably get a one-year deal for them. So it's not like you got to break the bank. And apparently we're average cap space right now. We do have room if we wanted to do it.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, NFL Blitz is on the way. We'll run down the top stories. Lots of stuff starting to trickle out as we get closer and closer to camp. And next week it'll be 2 weeks and then a week, and then all of a sudden everybody's reporting, and you're just going to have overload, to be quite honest with you, the week that everybody gets to camp and things start happening, because there's just so many storylines in the NFL before we begin the start of the season. 404-726-0929. You guys can always hit us up. Find us on social media as well. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Big O is back at the studio doing all the things for us. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Mike, what did you think of Charlie Morton? Braves lose 2-3 to the Giants, but what did you think about Morton?
Well, he hit another guy. He's been doing a lot of that. I know that we've talked a lot about Morton, and at some point the wheels are going to come off, and that will be it. I mean, I'm of the opinion this is going to be his last season with the Braves, but how many times have you and I said that?
True.
Three years. I don't like the fact that you're giving $20 million to a guy who can never get seemingly to the six, although he did do a lot better earlier in the year. 5 1/3, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. But, I mean, only giving up 3 earned runs, you know, to a team that the Giants, you know, they're a scrappy squad. We're just not hitting. That should be enough by any metric for the Braves to win any game. Then Charlie Morton only gives up 3 earned runs, right?
Well, that's what's crazy. Thank you, Snit. Last year, that was plenty, because you were going to put 5, 6, 7 runs on the board, and you knew it night in and night out. He was asked about the offense after last night. This is what Charlie Morton said.
I don't know. I mean, I've had enough games where I gave up 4 runs and the team scored like 10, you know. So I'm trying not to add to any negativity. So, like, it's like, I don't know. I don't really think about that. Like, I mean, it's like, I'm sure there's enough guys in there going through things that are tough and frustrating. So for me to sit there and be like, man, it's really frustrating that they're not scoring more runs. Like, that's not fair, you know?
Is it?
He's being a professional. He's not going to call out the guys who last year were knocking the cover off the baseball. As he said, he's had some games where they bailed him out with their offense. So he's taking a veteran high road approach. I just think when you're not scoring runs, things like yesterday when a lot of Braves fans were upset with Matt Tuiasosopo for sending Olsen from second on that double down the line. He's not the fastest guy. Remember Austin Riley doubles down the line?
Aggressive, yes.
I think Washington would have done it. I think, Carl, in that sense, I don't think it was like you're so desperate to score runs, you're going to try to, no, make them make the perfect relay throw. Unfortunately, the Giants executed it perfectly, and it was, you know, bang, bang, play, and Olsen was out.
I don't think
that smacks of desperation. I think that just you're taking a calculated risk.
No, I totally agree. I didn't have as much of a problem with it as some people did. Some people felt like, oh, they're throwing in all their chips. Every game's different. That one play, all right, I don't think sparks the bats. It might have won you the game, right? Potentially.
It's a tie ball game if he makes the play. But again, a guy with long legs should be able to score from second on a double down the line. That's basically the logic, right?
Yeah, but I just, you know, and I didn't have any problems with being aggressive. Hell, I actually want them to be more aggressive. I don't think we do enough of that, because you're right, Mike. You have to make the perfect play. You've got to make the perfect throw. More times than not, guys, like, you know, 4 out of 10 times, you're not going to make that throw. So, anyways, here's Charlie Morton when he was asked about Max Fried. He's starting tonight. It's going to be a good one. Aaron Nola, Fried. Here's Morton.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I knew in the offseason he was working on a couple things with his delivery, and in spring, it's like I don't even know. I saw him pitch a couple times, and it's like, you know, he's in the prime of his career. You know, he gets his mix dialed in well enough, and if he throws strikes, he's fine.
So the Braves won 2 or 3 to start the season against the Phillies, and we were all like, yeah, it's the way to start, even though Freed struggled in that matchup. And Nola got chased, guys, early in his start against us. So both of these guys are looking for a little bit more tonight as they'll go up against each other. Here's the other thing, Mike. Brian Snicker was asked about why we're not hitting, what's going on with the team. This was his response to it.
As I've said before, every year is its own separate little thing. You don't know what it's going to be, and it's different this year than it has been the last few years. It's just something that's baseball. And, you know, we had chances again tonight. Like I said the last time, Grant Holmes kept us in the game, you know, held it right there. You know, I mean, Charlie threw the ball okay. It's, you know, we score a few runs, he wins the game. But it's just the way this thing works. And we're going to keep working at it and trying to find the right mix till we get the guys back.
I can't be mad at Snit, neither should you. This is not his issue. This is not his fault, even though he's the manager and people are saying they're not hitting and therefore he must not be doing something. He's doing everything. Mike, he's right. Every year is different. And this is why I don't want to look at 21 and say, oh, we just signed Rosario and he's going to come in here and be the MVP candidate or the MVP of the NLCS like he was. Guys, you're stretching now, right? You're trying to find anything you can put your finger on and say it's going to work. Snit and this staff is doing everything they can. They're just not scoring runs.
No, and I know that we've gone round and round about everything from Chipper on the broadcast on Bally Sports a month and a half ago saying he's heard, and a lot of folks have talked about the dead ball, but the dead ball is not affecting all the other teams that are kicking butt, you know, in the National League, like the Dodgers, and, you know, we've talked about Philly just, you know, even with the injuries, you know, imagine we've talked about Acuna, and we've had injuries throughout the year. They're losing Schwarber, Real Muto, and Bryce Harper. Real Muto's obviously gone for the longer time, but they just keep on rolling. So you begin to wonder, man, is this just not your year because you're just not getting the breaks? I'm not going to, we're not throwing in the towel. It's just, you're going to have to, and I'll use that phrase again, Carl, thread the needle. You got to get a couple of guys in here that can spark this thing, just like in 21. Can Alex pull that rabbit out of his hat again? You know, getting Rosario back here, look, whatever he can do is fine. I don't have any expectations for Rosario at this stage, but I mean, they're going to somebody, as you said earlier, they got familiarity with, who hopefully can catch some clutch.
Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way in less than 10 minutes as we'll go around the league. And then Hugh Douglas is going to join us to talk about not only this Philly series and how well they have played this season, but also some NFL stuff as we'll talk about the Eagles, etc. Hey, Mike, it's been a week since free agency started. It was 6 p.m. Sunday, last Sunday, and we were all kind of, you know, waiting. We're still waiting. Now, Steve Koonin, Hawk CEO, is supposed to join us later in the show, and on Fridays he normally does, and we'll ask him about all the things that we haven't done. But one of the big things that did go down was Klay Thompson going to the Mavericks, and ironically his teammate and, you know, champion. I mean, these guys won championships together. Draymond Green, Mike, says he did not try to talk him out of it.
When Klay told me, I was just able to listen, you know, and it wasn't like a, yo, we could finish like this or like, you should rethink this. It was just like, wow, like, all right, like, congrats, bro. Like, I'm happy for you. That's dope. And, like, I didn't even attempt to, like, want to talk him out of leaving or, like, yo, you should stay. Because, like, all the reasons that you would say, like, and things that you could, like, yeah, I could make words sound good, but, like, those are known. Because to see him struggle the way he did last year, I'd hope the care that you'd have for that person would go far beyond what you may feel is best for you or what you want to see.
Yeah, and Draymond got his $100 million, Mike, so why would he try to talk him out of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, Draymond making that more about him than about Klay Thompson. It's like, you know, they say that, you know, the story was that Golden State was coming with enough money. Maybe he just wants a new challenge, and he thinks going out to Dallas, it's maybe with the Golden State, it has run its course. Maybe he's sick of playing with you, Draymond. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you don't begrudge a guy a chance to go make some more loot, even though maybe you could have stayed. Seems like they're missing their window. I look up at Minnesota. You look at Denver. You look at Oklahoma City on the come. And now you add him to the Mavericks. You know, if they can just just get a few more worker bees like they you know they added the trade deadline last year. Yeah, he's got a much better chance to win in Dallas than he does in San Francisco.
So the crazy thing is, and maybe it's not, maybe this was the plan all along, but the Warriors go out and get Buddy Hield. And Mike, we had talked about adding some shooting for us, right?
Yes.
I said, oh, well, why don't we go maybe sign Buddy Hield? And so the bottom line is they went out and signed a couple of guys to kind of take the spot of Klay Thompson. It's not just one individual. Right. They went and signed a couple of different shooters, but Hield being one of them. And the point is they have a plan, Mike. They had a plan.
Yes.
If they lost Klay, they knew exactly what they were trying to do, and then they executed it. And I ask this again, what is our plan?
Well, it's funny. I mentioned on our promo tweet today about what our show is going to be, and I said we're going to talk to Steve Coonan at 4:40. And Chris, one of our listeners, goes, "Hey, man, can we please get the interviews with Steve back to normal? They've sounded so uncomfortable and awkward lately." I go, "Well, yeah, because we're not doing anything. I mean, we did, you know, get the trade and we got some picks back, but I mean, I'm not really excited about Dyson Daniels just yet and Larry Nance Jr. And look, it's not Steve's job. Steve's job, he takes the big picture and does everything with the organization to make it one of the best experiences for the fans. But still, yeah, we'll talk to Steve about it, and hopefully there's more stuff coming. It just, you see everybody else around the league, Carl, making moves, and you're right, Buddy Hield, that's a shooter. That's what have we been talking about? We need that. You know, unless Garrison Matthews is going to look like, he will look like Gary Bird this year. Just wondering where the shooting's coming from.
Hield hit 4 3-pointers per game in 2021, I think the third most in the league. Over the last three seasons, Mike, he's been a 40% three-point shooter. You're telling me we couldn't have used that? I mean,
right.
And when you look at what the Warriors ultimately, and this is why we're talking about it, guys, because everybody's saying, all right, what are we going to do? Dukes and Bell, where are we going? Everybody's talking about what we need. It's one aspect. Yeah, I want to get better defensively. There's no doubt about that. But you still got to put the ball in the bucket. And to lose DJ, whatever you thought about him, that's 22, 25 points out of gone, Mike, out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. So unless you're telling me Jalen Johnson, which he's capable, I just don't know if he can do it every night, is going to become a 25-point guy every night, where is that coming from? And so that is why I look at this move by Golden State and go, that's nice. They did a good job of substituting the moves for Klay Thompson.
Thought we'd move on from Clint Capella. The good news is we still have Bogey. You know, Bogdanovich is still here. I thought for sure that they would have earmarked him for a trade to save some loot. Well, I mean, if Vit Krejci and Garrison Matthews can become, you know, Kyle Herter, I mean, I should say Kevin Herter 2.0, it just, you look at the team and it's just not as compelling as about six or seven other teams in the Eastern Conference, especially some of the moves like the Sixers have made this year, bringing Paul George over.
Coming up, is the injury more serious than they're leading on? We'll talk about it next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.